Log Talk Radio.
Yo, Sling Keys, Real Talk, UFC 274 preview show. We're going to hit the ground running, as always. Lee, what up, bro? How you doing tonight?
Oh, man, I'm good, man, out here. No longer in the Mile High City, man. Down here in Fayetteville, North Carolina.
Boys,
yeah, on that East Coast
boys,
time now. Yeah, so I'm just maintaining, man, just getting through this move. But, hey, you know, I was like, yo, my boy Key said, yo, we got to jump on. So I made it happen. Let's get it.
Hell yeah, bro. I appreciate that. I mean, first of all, the Ciroc boys are on the East Coast now. You got the Ciroc boys on the East Coast. So that's already a situation right there. It's already a vibe, as we would say out here. That's a vibe. So, yeah, I mean, I'm happy that you were able to get on for this episode. I'm happy I was. I know the last 2 weeks, you know, we weren't able to get on for anyone who listens. And obviously for both of us, that's, you know, we do like to get on once a week and chop it up about, you know, whatever's going down in the fight game. But, I mean, in the past 2 weeks, there really wasn't that much going on anyway, so it really wasn't that crazy. I feel like this was a perfect time to hop back on, to run it back. UFC 274 on Saturday with 3 days. Yeah, 3 days out. I'm pretty sure the press conference, yeah, they usually run the press conference on Thursday, so that should be tomorrow night. I'm looking forward to that. I mean, you're going to have those four guys all up on the same stage. That's going to be pretty good. I think that's going to be a press conference to watch for sure. I'm really pumped, man. I know Tony Ferguson, you know, I didn't see any of his media day stuff. I might have to watch that, you know, before or after I watch the press conference tomorrow. I know Tony Ferguson's always really, he always has a lot to say during media day, you know, especially his last couple fights, he's had a lot to say. And I know I saw like a thumbnail, you know, probably like an hour ago saying that, like, you know, Tony Ferguson makes a bunch of comments at, you know, the UFC media day and all this. And I don't really know what it was about. I don't know if you saw it, but I'm going to definitely have to check that out probably at some point tomorrow night. I'll probably have to watch the press conference and then see what my boy Tony had to say.
Yeah, man, Tony is definitely good for the press conferences. He's been known to try to take a few of them over. But, you know, tomorrow you got Gaethje. Hey, Gaethje going to be up there. He's a good talker. Chandler, you know, he's came in. He's been a good talker. So it could be very entertaining.
Yeah, I think having, you know, Ferguson and Chandler, I already know are going to go at it. You already know that. I mean, they've been going at it for like 2 years, and this fight, you know, has been kind of building up ever since they signed Mike Chandler. So, you know, those two are going to be going at it. I'm sure Ferguson and Gaethje are going to be going at it. So there's going to be a couple of situations there. Chandler and Gaethje might even be going at it. So there's going to be a lot happening on that stage. The champ is going to be there. My boy Oliveira doesn't speak too much English. I don't know if he speaks too much English. So he's going to be up there, you know, being the king of the lightweight division. You know, he doesn't need to say anything. He's an all work, no play kind of G. You know what I'm saying? That's the true champion. He's gonna be up there. You don't have to say nothing, man. Because, I mean, if you look at it, he's beating everybody up on the stage. He's beating everybody that's gonna be up there. So it's like, man, even if he knew English more, he wouldn't need it. There wouldn't be much that he would need to say. Because he gets this fight with Gaethje, that's the only guy out there he hasn't beaten yet. So, what really needs to happen with that? You know what I mean?
Yeah, I mean, it ain't like they gonna be. It ain't like Chandler can say anything to Oliveira. Ferguson definitely can't say nothing to him. So, only thing they really can say is, if I beat this guy, hopefully I'm in line for a title fight. That's all them two guys can say, really. And Chandler, I don't think he's nowhere near in line for a title fight, and I don't think Ferguson is either. So we'll see what happens.
Yeah, I mean, Ferguson lost like 3 fights in a row. Chandler, I want to say, has lost 2 fights. So, I mean, that fight is open. You know, his last, yeah, he's Chandler's 1-2 in his last three, and Trayson's 0-3 in his last three. So, I mean, those two guys collectively have just been taking a lot of L's. And that's a tough fight because that's really two guys that, like, I'm a big fan of both of those guys. And that it's frustrating for me because even though I critique Chandler, I critique him because I want to see him do the right thing so he could be better. That's it's in a similar way as the way I critique Derek Lewis. It's like, yeah, I have a lot to say about Derek Lewis. That's because I know he could be better than he is. And it's like when you see guys that are kind of like almost neglecting, you know, the work they could put in to be better, it's like that's disappointing. So I have to critique you for it. It's like you can't expect to just have one weapon, you know, in this era of the UFC and be able to be dominant. And that's like both of those guys. I mean, Derek Lewis thinks, you know, he could just have power and that would get him by and, you know, no gas tank, et cetera. And Chandler, you know, pretty similar. He also thinks that he can just get by with pretty much one round of cardio and a lot of power. He just thinks that he can get by with that. I know he has, you know, a wrestling background and stuff like this, but we haven't seen it yet. You know, it's only been stand up. And from what I can see watching his fights is that he burns out after about one round. You know, where have we seen that he looks good after the first round yet? We have not seen it.
And that is a true statement. And that's why it's hard for me to predict him to win fights against top-notch guys, because everything in history tells you that you are not going to beat top five, top 10 guys in the first round. I mean, everybody can get caught, but what's the chance of you really going in there beating a top five, top 10 guy in the first round if both of you guys are technically sound at doing what y'all supposed to do inside the octagon? That is slim to none. So that's why, you know, I think I said from the time he got in the UFC to now that if he doesn't win a fight in the first round, he doesn't have a chance of winning. And don't let it be a five-round fight. I definitely don't see him winning a five-round fight. So, you know, I'm with you. Just because we critique somebody, normally it's a fair assessment. It's what we see. And everybody don't see things the same way. Some people look at Chandler and they like his style. But when we watch Chandler fight, we see that there are improvements that need to be made. And if you're a Chandler fan, you should see that there are improvements that need to be made in his game. So, but you know, he got a big-time fight coming up Saturday against a big-time opponent. And I think this fight has the makings of being a good fight. But, once again, I need to see him not fade after the first round. Can he get strong as the fight goes? That's all we're looking for. That's all we ask. Don't be a first-round fighter. Because at this level, it's very seldom that you want to fight in the first round.
Yeah, I mean, he pretty much got blessed, you know, his first fight being against, you know, your boy, Dan Hooker. You know, that's pretty much your guy in the UFC. And, you know, he pretty much got blessed with that fight because Dan Hooker really hadn't looked good before that. I mean, he was kind of not looking too good in the fights leading up to it. And then it was like, you know, I think without even getting deep into that, I mean, he pretty much just Chandler, he got, you know, they gave him a fight that, you know,
he's
pretty much, they
win.
Were like, okay, yeah, exactly. It's like, all right, there's a high chance he's going to beat this guy. So let's go there. And then, you know, they were able to have him fight for the title. It's like, all right, we just want this guy to get one win. And this is a guy that he's, you know, more than likely to beat. And yeah, it is what it is. But now it's like, you know, Chandler has gotten around to, you know, fighting the real top guys in 155. And that's when, you know, now we've seen him struggle a bit, you know. And it's not to say that that means he's a phony. It's just that now he's fighting the best guys. And it's like you need to improve or you're going to continue to lose. And now this is going to be another step for that, you know, with Tony Ferguson. And the thing that's crazy about this fight to me is that seen on Twitter have this belief. I mean, first of all, Mike Chandler is, I want to say he's either a 3-point favorite or a 4-point favorite. So I'm just going to put that out there now. I don't know if you knew that. But he's either minus 310 or a minus 410, which is pretty wild to me. I don't know where we came around to that, because that's a bit wide of a spread, you know, for a guy that's fighting Tony Ferguson. I don't know. I mean, I know you can look at recency bias and say, like, oh, well, Ferguson's, you know, hasn't, you know, he's looked pretty bad in the last three. But it's like, how bad did he really look? Because he got two out of those three fights. He pretty much just got dominated on the mat. So how bad did he really look? I mean, and look who he fought. It's like, he fought Benil Dariush, is like one of the best grapplers in that division, if not the best grappler. Him, you know, Chimaev, like, these guys are like some of the best guys on the mat in Oliveira. And then Oliveira, he fights, it's like Oliveira pretty much dominates him on the mat. It's like, what are you saying? It's like he's washed because he didn't look good on the ground versus guys who, that's their bread and butter. Like, Ferguson isn't much of a, like, yeah, he's a jiu-jitsu guy, but he's not like a grappler. Like, he's and you see most of his fights, he wants to stand and bang. Like, he doesn't even really take fights to the mat unless he gets taken down. Like, when have you really seen, when was the last time you saw Tony shoot for a takedown? Like, most of the times he ends up on the mat is when he gets taken down. Even in the when he fought Kevin Lee, I want to say the only reason that he ended up on the mat was because Kevin Lee took him, I don't know if Kevin Lee either took him down or he knocked Ferguson down in that first round. And then, but that was what eventually led to Tony submitting him. He was already on his back. But when do you really see Tony shooting on guys? Like, people are acting like Ferguson was a grappler this whole time. He's really mostly a striker. Like, he wants to stand and fight. That's the way his style for the majority is. So how bad are those three losses, really? I mean, you got out-grappled by guys that it's understandable to lose in a grappling match, too. And then he obviously, you know, he got outclassed versus Gaethje. I give you all that one. You know, I give you that one. He got beat up pretty bad versus Gaethje, and that was, you know, stylistically a fight that is his type of fight. You know, that's a fight that – that's the type of fighter that Ferguson beats. You know what I mean? A guy that's just going to stand in front of him is not going to shoot for a takedown or do anything super technical. That's the type of guy that Ferguson thrives against. So I'll give you all that one. That was a bad L. But the other two, I ain't really mad at those, to be honest. I'm really not that mad. And I saw somebody say the other day, like, how did our boy Monstro that we had, I think it was him, we had him on the show before. And, shout out to Monstro. I'm just saying, it's funny. And he trolls a lot in his tweets. So I don't know if he was serious about this, but because it didn't really make sense. He was like, how – it's so crazy how Tony Ferguson went to go train with Freddie Roach, like, master boxing coach, you know, and then proceeded to get dominated by Benil Dariush on the mat. And I'm like, what do those two things have to do with each other? That's like a square in a circle. Like, that doesn't – that's like trying to fit a square into a circle. I don't understand what – how does that say anything? Like, he's – he's training with a guy that he's trying to improve his stand-up. He's a boxing coach. He's not going to get better on the mat from training with Freddie Roach. That doesn't even make sense. Like, and if you look at the portion of the fight where they were on the feet, go back and watch the fight. Ferguson was dominating the striking. He was dominating it. Like, that's why Benil had to take him down. Like, that was the only way he was going to win that fight. Ferguson was going to box his head off, I believe. If they were to stay on the feet, Ferguson was going to box his head off. He was looking good in there, and I think he's going to look good in this fight. So I'm kind of surprised that, you know, this narrative of like, oh, Ferguson's so washed, he's just going to get, you know, he's just going to get smacked by Mike Chandler, and this is going to be the end of his career. It's like, where did we come up with this? You know what I mean? Where do you think they came up with this?
Yeah, man, it's I don't know, because I'm looking at the odds, and it's minus 400 for Chandler, to 310 for Ferguson. Hey. If I was a betting man, I'd be putting money on Ferguson right now. But I just don't understand how they came up with these odds, man. That's just ridiculous. Especially they putting the money on Chandler. They got Chandler as the favorite. But what's he done in his last two fights, Stevens, make him the favorite? It's because, what, he on the two-fight losing streak? and Ferguson is on a 3-fight losing streak. If anything, I would have had this as a pick'em or even. But once again, when it comes to betting, you know, they trying to drum up interest in the fight. So sometimes the odds can be misleading. And this might be one of those times I think the odds are misleading.
Yeah, definitely. I mean, if I, like you said, if I was a betting man, which I'm really not, you know, I'd be definitely putting, you know, a couple bucks on Ferguson. That's definitely worth it. I mean, this is another one where this is the type of guy that Ferguson thrives against. So especially, and this is the one point where I'm kind of getting lost too, is that this is a 3-round fight, right? But Ferguson is the guy with the better gas tank, like, by far. So this is the point where I'm confused. It's like, okay, so, I mean, and I'm a fan of Chandler, but it's like his style in these fights is just so predictable now. It's like every fight he's come out the same way. It's like, all right, he's just going to throw a barrage of punches in the first round, and then he's going to be exhausted by the end of the second round, and he's going to look like, you know, 50% of the fighter that he was. And then then the fight's going to lean in, you know, the other guy's favor. That's pretty much what's happened in each of his losses, is that happened versus Oliveira. You know, he knocked him down first round. Second round comes out, looked like 50% of the fighter, and he got finished. And he still had good moments in that second round. You know, he escaped some submissions that I thought were, you know, his submission defense was, not he escaped submissions, he had submission defense I thought was very impressive. But still, it's just he looked like 50% of the fighter. And then it was the same thing versus Gaethje. It was like, comes out, throws barrage punches. You know, we thought Gaethje was hurt. Maybe he was. You know, Gaethje recovers. And then second round, what happened? Chandler looked like 50% of the fighter. And then the fight pretty much tilted all the way to Gaethje's side. He won the next two rounds, and that was a pretty clear win for Justin Gaethje. You know, props to him. If you're going to come out and do that versus Ferguson, it's like, first of all, I'm pretty sure Tony Ferguson has only been knocked out one time in his career. I'm pretty sure Michael Johnson knocked him out, I want to say. That's the only time he's ever been. And then if you want to count a doctor's stoppage versus Gaethje, but I'm not really, that's not really in the same bracket to me. Doctor's stoppage versus like a clean knockout, like he got finished by Michael Johnson, that's one time to me. And it's like, if what happens when Ferguson survives the first round? Chandler's going to be exhausted, and we know Ferguson goes 3 rounds, no problem. What happens?
We shall see, because as we have seen him fight in the past, he tends to fade. And one thing that you didn't say, but you have been bringing up, is since Tony has been with Freddie Roach, he hasn't taken as much punishment as he's taken in past fights, where in his past fights, he always come out looking like a bloody pulp and, you know, face swollen and all that. You look at his face against Beneil Dariush, it didn't even really look like he was in a fight. You know, what was the fight before that? Charles Oliveira, I think he didn't really get hit as much against Charles Oliveira. You know, they all took him down, but they all couldn't do anything to him when he was on his feet. So the training with Freddie Roach is doing what it's supposed to do, is improving his defense and improving his stand-up. Now he needs to put it together where you get the old Tony Ferguson style with his improved defense and boxing. And if he put that all together, he'll be fighting for the title, and we'll see him somewhere down the road, maybe being the UFC title, the UFC champion. So he just got to put it all together. He got to put the old Tony with the new Tony, and we will see the best version of Tony once that happens.
I agree. I think, you know, I think the general consensus out there right now is that he can't return to form. You know, our boy NJ Insight on Twitter has said that too. I know he feels like that, but Tony Ferguson can't return to form. I mean, while I disagree with that, I think he can, and he is, and he has made improvements. I mean, at least I think his stand-up looks a lot better. I mean, I don't really know what kind of work he's been doing as far as, know, his jiu-jitsu training and wrestling, grappling. I don't know. I mean, if he's making improvements there too, that's great. I mean, I think guys can make improvements late in their career. You know, I think so. I think you can make improvements at any time. You know, you might not make as much progress as a younger guy. You know, yeah, you guys, you know, 22 just coming in the game, 25. You know, you're 38 years old, whatever. You're not going to make probably the same progress as him. You're not going to improve as much as him, but I think you still can improve. You know what I'm saying? I mean, look at Derek Brunson. I mean, Derek Brunson was, you know, more so a striker in his fights, you know, and then he got knocked out a couple times versus some tough guys. And then what did we see Derek Brunson do? He pretty much changed up his style. He dyed his hair blonde. He turned into Blonde Brunson, and he became like a pure wrestler. And there was no more striking in his fights. And what did he do? He just took guys down. And what point in his career did he do that? That was in his late 30s. He did that in his late 30s. And he rode that style. He won, like, I think he went on like a 5-fight win streak. And so finally he got knocked out, I think, by Jerry Cannonier. He stopped the streak. But that just shows right there that a guy can switch up their game and kind of go in a different direction later on in their career and still have success. I mean, Derek Brunson was right there. You know, he probably should have been fighting for the title without having to, you know, fight Cannonier. You're on a 5-fight win streak. It's like you've beaten multiple top 10 guys. Why do you need – he probably shouldn't have even needed to take that fight, in my opinion. But, it, you know, had he won that fight, I think you had to have – at that point, they would have had to put him there, you know, to fight for the title. Unfortunately, he came up short, but that's just one example. I think guys can, you know, make progress later on in their career. But it is what it is. You know, we're going to get into this. And I want to ask you, you know, what is your big question for UFC 274? That's what I want to know. What is, like, a big question, you know, around the narrative for the event or, you know, a certain matchup, how the styles clash, you know, Rose rematching Carlos Esparza, you know, Justin Gaethje's second shot at the title, you know, does he make it happen this time, undisputed, you know, former interim champion, you know, Mike Chandler and Tony, does Tony have a resurgence and just spark out Mike Chandler and just shock everybody? Like, man, what is your big question or big speculation around this event?
My big question on this event, and you, I know you get tired of me saying this, fight placement. Why is Shogun Hua and St. Preux on the main card? Why is Donald Cerrone and Joe Lauzon on the main card, where you have, let me see, Chiesa versus Dumont, you got Roval versus Snell. I'm not even going to go further down, but those are two fights, and then the prelim main event between Brown and Williams.
Yep, you got Randy Brown and K.R. Williams. I don't know how. Yeah. That's a chance for you to promote your younger guys. You know, that's a great fight.
So
that might be a fight of the night.
Yeah, so to me it's like, okay, I understand Shogun Hua used to be a name. I understand that this might be Donald Cerrone's last fight. That don't give them automatic privy to being on the main card. This is your chance to show off Randy Brown and Chaos Williams, Chiesa and Dumont, or Roval and Snell. We don't need to put a spotlight on Shogun Hua and St. Preux and Cerrone and Lauzon. That's my biggest question. The UFC. Actually, it ain't even a question. That's my biggest gripe. But I'm going to throw it to you as a question. Keys, man.
Yeah, so...
What can we do to get the UFC to improve fight placement on pay-per-view cards?
I mean, if it were me, you know, the way that I would go, I'm looking at the whole lineup right now. I mean, I would probably – my first instinct would be to take those two fights off, move those into probably the regular prelims, and you move Chiesa and Norma Dumont to the main card. That might be second fight of the main card, and you move Randy Brown and Chaos Williams to open up the main card. I think that's perfect. Have them open up the main card. That's going to be a crazy fight. That's pretty much a pick 'em fight. You have a minus 105 and a minus 115. Chaos Williams is an absolute beast. Randy Brown, absolute beast. Both guys put on entertaining fights every time. You know, two welterweights coming up in the game, probably going to be top welterweights in a minute. So it's like, I would probably have them open up the main card. That's a banger. Then go Macy Chase and Norma Dumont. Or if you want to flip it and do it another way, I wouldn't say Royval and Matt Schnell, because Matt Schnell, I don't really like what Matt Schnell did the last fight, where the guy was like 0.1 overweight and he said he didn't want to fight him. I feel like that was kind of a coward move, to be honest. I don't really respect that as a man. So I wouldn't put him on the main card, to be honest. No shout out to Matt Schnell. That shit was weak. And if you want to flip it another way, what I would do is I would do probably Tracy Cortez. I think you bring her up because she's on the early prelims. This is how you bring up like new upcoming fighters. You gotta sprinkle it in there. So I would go probably Tracy. So I would do flip this with the Jason fight. So I would do Chaos Williams and Randy Brown open up the main card still, and then you go Tracy Cortez versus Melissa Goddard was the second fight. Then you have your feature fight. You know, Chandler and Tony. Rose and Esparza and Oliveira Gaethje. I would go that way. So those would be the two ways I would do it. I mean, as far as how to fix it, I don't know, man. I think I don't really know, because the UFC, I just don't think they would go. I don't think they know how to, like, I can't really judge, because Dana White, I mean, probably the best, I would say the best, you know, promoter there is, you know, in the game period, you know, as far as any fight, boxing, best promoter. Like, there's no way. There's no way. You know, Eddie Hearn, no way he's a better promoter. Like, they don't put on bigger fights. You know, boxing thinks they put on bigger fights. They don't put on bigger fights. Like, the UFC puts on the biggest fights. That's a fact. Like, they sell out every single time. I was watching Eddie Hearn earlier this week, and much respect to Eddie Hearn, but he was saying that for Canelo's fight this weekend, there's still, like, a couple hundred tickets left. How is the event not sold out yet? How is the event not sold out? You have Canelo Alvarez. You said he's the pound-for-pound number one, right? Fighter in the world, right? And you're saying that a couple days away from the event, you still have a couple hundred tickets? Really? How is that possible? Yeah, but it's still Canelo, though. If you're claiming he's the pound-for-pound number one, why do you still have a couple hundred tickets left? You cannot say that you put on the biggest fight if that's one example, but you cannot say you put on the biggest fights and then turn around and you have a performance like that with the live gate. If Dana White puts on a card, right, how come every one of these UFC cards is selling out the same day? A lot of these UFC cards are selling out in the first hour that the tickets are on sale, the first hour. And a lot of them aren't even – they're not McGregor's, you know what I'm saying? They're not Nate Diaz's. They're not, you know, Masvidal's, Covington's. They're not these big names that are really going to – you know, you put on guys that people don't – you know, I love Volkanovski. He's one of my favorite guys. But, you know, a lot of fans don't respect him. You put on his card, that shit probably sold out. You know, the live gate was probably sold out in the first, you know, 10 hours of sale. So who's putting on the biggest fights? You know, I kind of – my bad. I get on a tangent. We'll bring that to another show. You know, I've got my gripe with boxing later. But, yeah, I don't know. Dana White probably wouldn't go for it. Because, you know, they want to just put out names that people recognize. They want to say, okay, Cowboy, you know, Cowboy versus Joe Loaizon on the main card. People recognize, you know, Cowboy. He wants to put that on the marquee. You know what I'm saying? And it's just like people recognize Shogun Hua, you know, some of the more OG fans, you know, that probably fell off with the game and they watched years ago. They say, oh, Shogun Hua's in the card. So, you know, he wants that type of name recognition. But really it's like, I think you would be better off, you know, in the long run, promoting, you know, growing your talent that's going to be here, you know what I mean, in 5 to 10 years. You know, it's like Shogun Hua is not going to be fighting in 5 years. Like, OSP's probably not going to be fighting in 5 years. Like, Trace Cortez is brand new in the game, you know what I'm saying? Randy Brown is not brand new in the game. You know, he's got some fights under his belt. Chaos Williams is not brand new in the game, but they're still on the come up guys. And it's like, I think you would be better long term promoting, getting people used to new names. You know what I'm saying? Put Chaos versus Brown on the marquee. See how people react to that. I bet you they will. You know what I'm saying? If you want this name recognition, I think you need to just look at how to promote these guys in a way that is more appealing. You know what I'm saying? Instead of putting them on the prelims and making them sit underneath guys that, you know, have done 100 fights in the UFC, you know, no disrespect, but, you know, guys done 100 fights and they're more so on the way out. You know, it's like, why are you burying your new talent under these guys who've been there forever? Like, let your new talent get up and thrive. You know, let Chaos Williams and Randy Brown have the opening fight of the main card and let them put on a fight of the night. That's what's going to bring, that's what's going to make them stars. That's what's going to make them gain, you know, 10,000 fans apiece, if not, you know, a lot more in that one night. You know, that's what's going to make their social media game fly through the roof, and then people are checking for them for every event after that. That's how you do that. So I think that's the way you do it. You got to just, I would like to see them, you know, relook at, you know, their priorities with the way, you know, the booking is for the cards. Like, you got to put these, give guys a chance. Put them on the main card. You know what I mean?
Or even if you don't have faith in them to be on the main card, that Randy Brown and Chaos Williams fight should have been a fight night main event. Can you imagine them two guys going 5 rounds?
Yeah,
man, that's a banger, bro. But you know, man, what, you know, that's my gripe. That's my burning question. So what's on your mind tonight?
All right, so this is how we're gonna go. So, you know, I saw a few people talking about this, and I kind of reframed the question a little bit, you know, to my own, kind of into my own form. But so Charles Oliveira, right? You know, I was mentioning earlier that he's beating everybody. You know, if they do the four of them, they might do Cowboy. They might have Cowboy at the conference. You know, I could see that. You know, Cowboy's fought in a number of guys on that stage too. They might have him at the press conference, but. Either way, if Oliveira beats Gaethje, let's just say he does. I'm not assuming that he does, but let's just say he does. You know, they both have a 50% chance of winning, and anything could happen, obviously, in this game. But let's just say Oliveira beats him. Does he pass Khabib in the lightweight, like, overall pitcher? Does he move above Khabib in the all-time for lightweight division?
Opinion, you know, me and you have had this conversation before. I look at who Charles Oliveira has fought. Charles Oliveira has fought the who's who in that division for a couple of years now. And being that he's the champion, he won the belt beating Michael Chandler, the former Bellator champ. He defended against the guy that everybody called the uncrowned champ, Dustin Poirier. And if he beat Justin Gaethje, who Khabib beat, then to me, everybody will probably go with Khabib because he has that zero on his record. But when you look at overall, look at who they fought, when they fought them, and what they did against them, it's hard to deny that could be one of, you know, I mean, that Oliveira could be maybe better than Khabib, viewed in some people's eyes as being better than Khabib. Me personally, I like Charles Oliveira. I think if he beats Gaethje and then comes back and beat Beneil Dariush, then to me it's a no-brainer.
So you think, so say that last sentence again. You think if he does X and X?
If he beats Justin Gaethje and then turns around and beats Beneil Dariush, that I think is a no-brainer that he could be viewed as a better champion than Khabib. And plus, what do we always say about Charles Oliveira back in the day? Man, boy, if he takes you down, there's no way you can win. But if you can get him to fight on his feet, you got a chance of beating him. What did Oliveira do? He went and worked on his striking game. He made his striking game as dangerous as his ground game. So, once again, a guy that added more tools to his toolbox as he went along in his career. Has Khabib showed us that he could strike? No. Has he showed us a willingness to stand and bang with guys? No. He showed us the same thing over and over and over. I'm gonna take you down, smother you out, ground and pound you, then submit you. Okay, show us something new. So we never know how Charles Oliveira gonna win a fight, because he can win a fight in different type of ways. So I think beating Gaethje and then coming back, beating Beneil Dariush, I will have him as a better champion than Khabib.
Yeah, so overall, he would be higher, like all-time lightweights. You know, if he would have beat Gaethje and, you know, whoever wins with, if Dariush and Islam Makhachev fight, obviously they're going to give him the winner of that. If he were to beat both of those names, he would be higher in the all-time lightweights than Khabib.
Correct.
Yeah, I mean, me personally, yeah, I definitely think so. I mean, and for me is, I mean, let's see, he already beat Chandler for the belt. He beat Ferguson before. He beat Ferguson, then got the title shot, beat Chandler to win the belt, defended against Poirier, and is about to fight Gaethje. Khabib had 3 title defenses. I mean, Oliveira hasn't fought Conor McGregor, you know, so that's not in, that's missing from the link, but do you really need a win over him? I mean, Conor only has one lightweight win. Like, if you really go down to statistics, I mean, I know he'll be looked at as an all-time great, but in the division, is he an all-time great? I would say probably not. So it's like, does Oliveira really need a win over Conor McGregor? I would say probably not. He might end up fighting him. I think that fight can happen. But does he need that win? I would say probably not. I think if he, you know, he's beaten Ferguson, he's beaten Chandler, he's beaten Poirier, he's beaten Gaethje. I mean, I think right there he passes Khabib, honestly, even with only having 2 title defenses, because he still beat more all-time great lightweights. He already beat more top guys than Khabib had. I mean, yeah, he fought like Rafael Dos Anjos. You know, he beat Rafael Dos Anjos, you know, who's still a great fighter, but he beat him and, you know, a couple other guys on the way up. But he didn't beat that lineup, though. I mean, I would say today's lightweight is better than, you know, lightweight years ago. So I think Oliveira passes him with the win this weekend. I don't think he needs to. I mean, yeah, of course, he's going to do more than that, in my belief. I think he'll beat more guys. But I do think a win this weekend, in my bracket, puts him above Khabib in the all-time lightweights. Because I just don't feel like Khabib did that much, you know? I mean, he beat McGregor, had one win at lightweight, you know, and then he fights him, you know, the guy was inactive, he fights him. It's like, it's a big win, but it's like he bowed out too soon. I mean, 3 title defenses, and he fought Ally Kinta to win the belt. It's like, I mean, that versus Oliveira fighting Mike Chandler to win the belt, Ferguson before he won the belt, and then Poirier and Gaethje, I think those are all killers. And I think that's much better on the resume, especially back-to-back-to-back-to-back. I think that already passes everything Khabib did at lightweight. And then maybe that makes me a hater, but that's just the way I feel.
No, it don't make you a hater. It's because, once again, we are looking at who you fought and when you fought them. And if we really look at Khabib's record, if you really look at, take a deep dive in his record, when did he start fighting top guys? He won the belt from a number 12 rank. He won the belt fight R.R. Kenta, who I think was ranked number 12. I think he was ranked number 12 when they fought for the interim, when they fought for the title. So that right there is suspect. So basically, the UFC was trying to put the belt on him. So Tony Ferguson got hurt. The fight that we call the most cursed fight in UFC history, Khabib versus Tony Ferguson, but he beat another, the 12th ranked guy. Then he fought Conor, who was off for what, about 2.5 years, 3 years, something like that, who last fight was a boxing match. So then he come back and he beat Dustin Poirier, and then he beat Justin Gaethje. So he fought 5 top 5 guys or 4 top 10 guys in his title reign or since he won the belt. Nah, bro, I can't get that to you. And basically, those were the four best fighters he fought his whole career. Those are the four best fighters he fought his whole career. This is a non-debate.
Yeah, I mean,
it's a non-debate. I mean,
I mean, yeah, there's really not. It's really hard to defend Khabib. Like, I just don't see how you can look at that and be like, you know, this is, you know, everyone says 29-0, but it's like, really, I mean, we already know this. It's like, you break it down, it's like, you know, he fought like six tough guys. Like, I don't really want to, you know, go back and forth with y'all about this. Like, y'all know that. Like, you really come down to it, he only fought like maybe six or seven actually tough guys. So it's like 29-0, but really against all cans, like, who did he actually, you know what I'm saying? It's just, we ain't really impressed with that, to be honest. We're really not impressed with that. I mean, I know his overall work in the ring, you know, is impressive. You know, his, you know, he's only really good at one thing, but that one thing was good enough, and that was, you know, that his work is impressive, but who he fought overall was not that impressive. He fought some tough guys towards the end, but it was only towards the end he started to fight tough guys. Like, Oliveira's fighting tough guys back to back to back to back, you know. He's taking everybody. And it's like, probably after this fight, he's probably going to be fighting, I think after this fight, he's either going to be fighting Conor McGregor or he's going to be fighting the winner of Islam. Yeah, Islam and Darius. So I think it's either the winner of that or Conor McGregor. I do think that fight is highly likely. I heard rumors about it, you know, already, but I do feel like that's definitely on the table, you know, behind the scenes. But, you know, we don't have to go too much into that. Let's jump into the main card predictions. Who you got for the first fight of the main card? You know, we're kind of reluctant about these first two fights. We're not crazy about these first two fights, but we'll still give you predictions for them since they're here. Cowboy Cerrone and Joe Lozon, who you got?
I'm going with Joe Lozon to win this fight. Although he's been inactive, I think he got hurt. I think this is going to be his first fight back in the octagon. Although these are the type of fights that Cerrone normally wins, I'm going to take Joe Lozon because Joe Lozon is a tough guy. I appreciate his fighting style. I really like him. I think he can do a lot of things in the cage that people don't appreciate from him, being that he's an old, wily veteran. But I like Joe Lozon to win this fight. Cowboy is going to give it a good fight because I think this is his last fight in the UFC. I'm going to say Joe Lozon win this fight by second-round TKO. But Lozon, you can't let this fight go to the judges. That everybody is going to be building up this sympathetic, sentimental thing with Cowboy this week, being that everybody going to be in an assumption that this is his last fight. Do not let this fight go to the scorecards. You will lose this fight on the scorecards. So you better finish him with a second-round TKO, and I got Joe Lozon winning this fight.
My bad. I was just kind of stuck right there. I saw a tweet from my boy Volcano. Alex Volkanovski posted a pic of him in the octagon and said, back in fight camp. So, you know, I just had I was sitting there thinking about that, and I was like, damn, who could he possibly be fighting? I don't know. But anyways, let me give you these predictions. So I'm going to take Cowboy. I think Cowboy is going to go hard for this one. I think figuring this is his last one. Plus, you know, I saw he got pretty emotional at the press conference. I think this is going to be Dad Cerrone in this fight. I think he said this is his first fight that his son's going to be live, you know, cage side watching him fight. So I think Cerrone will put on a good performance here. I think he'll win this. I think he'll win by decision. I think, you know, they'll probably end up slugging it out. I think Cerrone will win by decision here, probably unanimous decision. and they'll put the gloves, you know, put the gloves down. That would be a good closeout for him. But I'd love to see him get a finish. I just think, you know, him unanimous decision, get a good win in front of his son. I think that's written in the stars for him. The next one, I'll go first on the next one. I think I'm going to go with Shogun in this one. I think Shogun will win this. OSP, man, just really, I haven't, like, he's a two-point favorite, man. I don't really know, like, this guy. I don't even recall, like, seeing a good performance from this guy. Like, he's been very average for a long time. Like, I don't even remember the last time that he fought, and I was like, damn, OSP is on it tonight. Like, I don't even remember a time, like, saying that. So, that being said, I mean, I just remember him losing a bunch of fights. I don't really remember him looking impressive, and I just don't really think he's a great fighter. I think he's an average fighter. And Shogun, even though he's, you know, obviously older, and probably got, you know, a good amount more miles on his belt, he's been in more wars than OST has. Obviously, he was a champion before. I just think he's a better MMA fighter overall, even though he's older. I just think he's much better than OSP, and I think, you know, him at a plus 190, I think for a better man, even though I don't really like this fight in the main card, I think if I was a better man, I would take Shogun at a plus 190. I don't think OSP is that good, man. I don't think he's that good. You go ahead. You got it.
I understand, bro. When you look at it, man, it's like Shogun Rua hasn't been the same fighter since the Machida fights. I mean, the Dan Henderson fights, they were good and all, but ever since the Machida fights, he just hasn't been that good, because I think after the Machida fights, he ended up losing to John Jones. And he's just been on a steady down slope. Then if you look at OSP, he had all the hype in the world as a young fighter on his way into the UFC. And has he lived up to the hype? I would say no. I'm going to take OSP via unanimous decision only because he's younger. Only because I think Shogun is seriously washed. So, yeah, man, I'm going to take OSP to win this fight.
All right. I'll go first on the next one, and I'll have you'll jump in. You'll go first for the Rose fight. I feel like that's fitting for you to go first for that one. We're both fans of Rose, but I feel like you're probably a bigger fan of Rose, so I can let you run that one up first. Let me get this Mike Chandler and Tony off real quick. So, I think for this one, also, if I was a better man, I'd be betting on Ferguson. I think a three-point underdog for Ferguson is money. If I was a better man, I'd probably bet the Wazon at the plus 150. I'd bet Shogun at the plus 190. I'd bet Ferguson at the plus 310. You could debatably bet on every underdog on this card, and you would have a fair shot at a parlay. I feel like each of these underdogs, like, have a decent chance to win. Like, this isn't really – I don't think any of these fights are, like, one really like one-sided obvious fights. I feel like any one of these could go either way, but I'm taking Tony in this fight. I think Tony is going to come back and shock a lot of people. I don't really want to see either one of these guys lose, because I would have liked to see them like not fight each other and like both get a win and then be coming in fighting each other both on a win, because they're both on losing streaks. Like, it's tough to, I don't like seeing like guys I'm a fan of, you know, go on these long losing stretches, but I think Tony's going to shock a lot of people here. I think he's going to show the difference with his boxing here. And, you know, Chandler's going to welcome that. I think Tony's going to weather the storm. He might get hurt in the first round, but he might not even really get hit in the first round. His head movement was so good versus Dariush, and that was like, you know, 6 months ago plus. I think he's going to look really good here. I think he's going to shock people. He's going to outbox Chandler. And, man, I don't know, man. I think Tony might TKO him, bro. I think Tony might. I think Tony TKOs Chandler in the second round. That's what I think. He's gonna shock a lot of people here.
Man, I know Chandler is the favorite, but I always go back to he has problems getting winning fights after the first round. And I don't think he can finish Tony Ferguson. So that takes me back to what I always say about Chandler. Can he win a fight where he can't, where he doesn't finish it in the first round? Until he showed me he can, I'm going against him, against top guys, because there is no way that you are going to finish a top five guy in the first round. Unless there's a puncher's chance for everything. But if both guys come in and do what they're supposed to do, there is no way you finish a top five guy, top 10 guy in the first round. I'm taking Tony Ferguson to win this fight. I say he wins this fight. I'm gonna get Chandler the first round, and I say Tony Ferguson wins round. Is this a 5-round or a 3-round?
I believe it's a 3-round fight.
Yeah. And I say Tony Ferguson wins rounds 2 and 3. So I got Tony Ferguson winning this fight. I'm gonna go unanimous decision. Tony Ferguson, then I think he rematches Beneil Dariush, man. I really think that he gets a because he got dominated in that fight, kind of, sort of. But he really didn't get dominated. He got dominated by the back, but he didn't get dominated in the stand-up. I don't know what they do with Tony after that. Do you make Tony Ferguson versus Dustin Poirier if Tony wins this fight? I'm here for it. So I say we get Tony Ferguson versus Dustin Poirier if Tony Ferguson wins this fight, which I predict he wins this fight. 2-1 on all the judges' scorecards. I like Tony Ferguson in this fight.
Yeah, I do think that's a fight to make, too. I think Tony versus Poirier versus the winner of this fight. I actually commented on Dustin Poirier's Instagram picture probably like a month ago. I don't know if I ever sent it to you. And, he said like he couldn't wait to fight or something like that. And he was like, who should I fight next or something? And I was like, I need you to go get the winner of Mike Chandler and Tony, champ. I was like, I need you to go get the winner of Mike and Tony, champ. And Dustin Poirier actually liked my comment, bro. I had to screenshot it. He liked my comment. I was gassed. So shout out to Poirier. I do think that is the way to go, though. I think Poirier and the winner of this is that's the fight to make. And for the next one, I'm gonna let you go first in this Rose versus Kyler Sparta. What's gonna go down in this fight, bro? How you see this one playing out?
Keys is slick, y'all. Keys is real slick when he do this. See how he went first in the previous two fights. And then he going to make me go first with my girl Thug Rose is fighting. I like how he did that because he know I'm picking Thug Rose to win this fight. I like Rose coming into this fight. She did lose. I want to say she lost to Esparza. Yeah, she did lose to Esparza one time before. But I think Rose is the better fighter. I think Esparza has definitely proven a lot of us wrong. Because she got beat up real, really bad against Joanna when she was trying to get the belt from Joanna. She got beat up really bad. And then she took some really bad losses. But she went back to the gym, went back to her strengths, which is wrestling. And she fought her way back to the top. And as fans, we should respect that somebody has earned their way into a title picture, not talk they way into a title picture. But I just don't think it's enough. I like Rose Namajunas to win this fight. I'm going to say third round KO, Rose Namajunas. Either third round KO or third round submission. Either which way it go, Rose gets it done in the third round. Her skill set, her talent, her ferocity, and her self-belief is just above the charts right now. And I like her to win this fight and to keep marching forward to a possible Rose Namajunas versus Valentina Shevchenko fight.
Word. I'm going to go with, actually, first of all, I just want to say, when they fought, that was like, I want to say it was like 7 years ago. I was like, yeah, I think it was like 7 or 8 years ago. So we know we can't really put too much stock into that. Rose has gotten a lot better. Obviously, both of them have gotten better. But Rose is the champ, man. Rose is the best. Like, I think Rose is the best in this division. And it just is what it is. Like, you have – I mean, she went in there. Everybody was looking at Zhang Wiley as, like, this, you know, very super dangerous fucking boogeyman in the division, like, super scary. I mean, even I was like, damn, she's tough. And, you know, Rose went in there and knocked her out in the first round with the head kick. So it is what it is. I think she's the best by far in the division, and I think she's going to beat Kayla Esparza. I'm going to go with the Keys special, the third round TKO.
All right, the Keys special. We got it tonight.
And right, I got bro, you. I'll go first in this one. I got you. You called me out, so I'll go first in this one. Here we go. So, Charles Oliveira. Yo, all right. So, Charles, yeah, because you went first in the Cowboy fight, I think. And then I went first. I went first again. And then, so we both went first.
You
twice,
went first again?
I mean, yeah, but I'm just saying, we both went first twice so far.
Okay.
You know what I mean? You got the first one, I did the second and third, and then you got the fourth one, so we both kind of, so we're even, you know what I mean? But I see what you're saying, though. There might have been a little psychological warfare with that, you know what I mean? You might have called me out on it. It's all good. And I do expect Ferguson to be going with the mental warfare at the press conference with Chandler, 100%. The mental warfare is coming, 100%. And Charles Oliveira, Justin Gaethje, this is a great fight. I think Charles Oliveira wins the fight. I think he's going to shut up a lot of people here. Obviously, Justin Gaethje is a warrior. He's a great fighter. You know, he's a great, great fighter, you know. But he's also fighting a great, great fighter. You know, I told someone that the other day. It's like, we can't really underrate either one of these guys. I mean, do I think Oliveira is much more well-rounded than Justin Gaethje? 100%. You know, do I think that, you know, Oliveira has a ton of heart and he's a true champion, 100%. And I just think that, you know, Justin Gaethje, he definitely can win. Either one of these guys can beat each other. But I don't think Oliveira is nearly as beatable as people are saying he is. Everyone's saying he's like the most beatable champion, and I just think that's completely false. I don't think he's very beatable. He's beatable. Anyone's beatable, but I don't think he's so beatable the way people are talking. I think he's a very difficult guy to beat at this time. You know what I mean? 10-0 in his last 10 fights. This dude is an absolute warrior with a ton of heart and a true champion. I think Oliveira beats Gaethje in this fight. I think he's going to knock him out, bro. I'm not going to call a submission here. I think Oliveira is going to knock him out, bro. I think it's going to be probably a TKO. I'm going to go. I think Gaethje will be in there, too. I think it'll be Oliveira TKOs Gaethje in the fourth round. I think it's going to be a fourth-round TKO if he's going to stop him. And everyone's going to be shocked because they all say he only has submissions. But we're going to see what he has. We're going to see who has what. Oliveira, fourth-round TKO. That's my call.
Man, that's a good one. And, Gaethje, better in a stand-up. I would give him that. I think his hands are more powerful. And we see Oliveira got hurt against Chandler. He didn't get hurt against Poirier, although he did take some shots from Poirier. I think Oliveira has a knack of getting caught in fights. Maybe that's his way of waking up or saying that, hey, man, you want to fight. So I don't think he can take a lot of shots from Gaethje because of the way Gaethje comes at you. Now, Oliveira, hopefully he watched the Chandler tape. Gaethje will leg kick you. Gaethje isn't just going to stand there and throw punches. He's going to leg kick you. He's going to kick you. So That being said, Oliveira dominates this fight on the mat. He can't too many. He can't afford to exchange with Gaethje. I like Oliveira to win this fight. I'm going to say rear naked choke. Fourth round, Charles Oliveira. But I'm also saying this. Charles Oliveira will be winning this fight on the judges' scorecards as well. So it ain't like it's going to be a fluky submission or a submission out of him being desperate. It's going to continue a dominating performance from the champion, Charles Oliveira, rear naked choke, fourth round. Bookie.
And the undisputed lightweight world champion of the world, the best lightweight in the world, Charles Oliveira. You heard it here first. The best there is. Put some respect on his name. Undisputed
yep.
world champion, true champion, a true champion. And I had a friend of mine say that, you know, it's kind of chanting USA, you know, Gaethje. And I don't know where Gaethje's from, but I know he's from the United States. I'm saying, like, I don't know exactly where he's from, like maybe Cali or something, but I don't really care about that. Oliveira's my guy, bro. Oliveira's going in all day. True champion energy. He's coming in. Both of us said fourth round. We just have different ways of finishing
hey,
that fourth round. But
Keys, let me ask you this real quick before we jump off. Who you got in the prelim main event, Chaos Williams or Randy Brown?
I'll probably go with Chaos Williams. I'm feeling it. I don't remember either one of these guys' last fights. I've watched them both fight multiple times, but I know they're both coming off a win. I don't really recall either one of their last performances, but I've seen some great performances from both these guys. I think I'm feeling Chaos Williams in this one, though. I think he gets it done. I'm not sure how, but I'm rolling with Chaos.
Okay, I can respect. I'm going with Randy Brown.
Yeah, I think that's definitely, you know, fight of the night potential for sure. I think they might get fight of the night. I think I'm going with them fight of the night as well.
Okay. All right, so we got that in. That's what's up.
Yeah, so now we rolling. I mean, great show. You know, appreciate anybody who listens. UFC 274 this weekend. The press conference is tomorrow night. I'm looking forward to watching that. You know, I always can't wait to watch these press conferences, and I expect tomorrow night's going to be a really good one. So I'm looking forward to that. And yeah, almost as much as the event. I'm looking forward to that. And yeah, that's pretty much all I got. You know, thank you to everybody who listens to us. If you've listened before. Always, like I say, hit us up on Twitter. You know, tag either one of us on Twitter or tag at LKE Real Talk. You know, we're always putting out content on the channel. You know, respond to anything. If you want to debate something or ask a question or even post up your predictions, hit us up on Twitter. You know, both of us are fairly active there. So, yeah, that's pretty much all I got. Thank y'all. And, yeah, leave the floor is yours. Also, one more thing.
Yeah.
One more thing. Men,
go ahead.
Men should not be able to make laws about women's bodies. That's it. Men should not have control over women's bodies. That's my last thought. The floor is yours.
Totally agree. Totally agree. But I really don't have much. Great to be back, you know, doing my first show in North Carolina. I got to get used to the time, get used to doing the time at 8:30, you know, but hey, it's all good. We'll work that out. You know, man, there's just, you know, for the last couple of weeks, I've been saying, hey, I haven't really had a saying for our show, you know, to end the show, but hey, you only get one life. Live that mud to the fullest. Ride it till the wheels fall off. And if you can afford to get the wheels put back on, put the wheels back on and ride that mug again. And, you know, live your life. Me and Keith signing off. UFC 274 this weekend. Everybody have a great weekend. Enjoy the fights. Be safe. Drink responsibly. Me and Keith signing off as always. We're here with a peace.
Peace.